Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive. Okay. What did we do last week?
What episode did we do?
Yes.
It was mine. Was it Ghost Ship last week?
Ghost Ship. I wanted to tell you that I randomly got like a ghost ship edit on my For You page.
That's
and I was
so
like, what the heck?
Random.
No, like they're listening. This is one of those they have to be listening because why would that pop up literally the same week that you told me that story? And it was, of course, it was like best horror movie opening scene, you know? It was, and I was like, well, yes, I'm aware now, but I thought that was weird. Anyways.
So strange.
I've watched no horror this past week, and my life hasn't been horror either.
Wow.
So, okay. Yes. So that's some good news.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, what has your week in horror looks like?
So horrible, but not horrible. Like horrible. Yeah. Okay. Horror. That was
okay, cute.
That was bad.
Love that.
Yeah. So I watched 3 movies. Mm-hmm. Also, before I get into those, I did play a game for the first time called Demonologist, which is essentially Phasmophobia, but with like demons. And it is so good. And I like it better than Phasmo.
I wanted to ask, from what I saw, it looked like more user friendly. Like it looked a bit easier than like all this knowledge that you have to store in your brain for Phasmo, which is fun, but you just, it seemed more user friendly. And I was like, okay, this is fun for like a more casual gameplay.
Right. Which is crazy because Carly and I both went in because it's a co-op game. We both went in and our first round we did nothing because we had no idea how to use anything. And then we finally found like the instruction part.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a few rounds. And by our last round, not only did we like figure out what the ghost was, but we also did all the optional objectives and like the major final objective. So like it
was
a much better learning curve than with Phasmo, where Phasmo is just like
throws you into it a lot.
Yeah. That's super fun.
Cool.
And I would be happy to play that someday if you're interested.
Yeah. Carly did say, I was watching Carly play Egg the other day, as you do.
Uh-huh. Of course.
If you know, you know. And she was like, threw it out to me. She's like, we want you to come join us in this because it's multiple. It's not just co-op. You can have
4 people. Yeah.
4 people. Okay. So yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. I look forward to playing that again.
Mm-hmm.
I also watched 3 horror movies. I'm going to start with the first one, which was a movie called Little Evil.
Oh.
And this was a movie that I was intending for the podcast.
Okay.
Yes. Except it is a very extreme comedy, not really horror type film. And this, the reason I wanted to watch it is because Adam Scott's in it and I'm kind of like on a Adam Scott kick right now. So it was cute though. Like it was a cute film, not like the best thing I've ever seen, but enjoyable.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, after that, I watched Scary Movie 5 and I just want to throw up thinking about it. I cannot.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing to say considering the bulimia jokes in that movie. You just, it makes you want to throw up, and they took that too seriously.
Wow. Yeah. That's so true.
So, yeah, we don't even need to talk about that. I said off before we started recording today, I watched your reaction. I almost wish I didn't because I don't want to be reminded of how awful that is. It's so bad.
I knew going in that it was going to be bad just based on comments, but I was like, no, like if people set up the fact that it's going to be so bad, usually I can find the positives because my expectations are in the gutter. But this time I was like, nah, y'all just were speaking straight facts on this one.
Unfortunately.
It's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end of the spectrum, though, I did watch Backrooms.
That's right.
I did.
Oh my gosh. I saw that you loved it. 4.5 stars.
I adored it. And I could say so many things. So I'll keep it quick. But I'm not someone who's super caught up on the original initial lore of the Backrooms. And I think a lot of people who don't like it are people who do really love the original lore. Because I think this kind of differs from that quite a bit. But the creator of the Backrooms internet, like web series, also was very involved in the movie.
Yeah.
So you know, like I'm cool with that. And if you're someone who enjoys just the aesthetic of the back rooms and liminal spaces in general, like that, they do it so, so, so well.
Yeah.
It's an extremely heavy atmosphere film. There are so many moments of just sitting in it and watching like this guy go through the back rooms. And it's really, oh my God, I loved that aspect of it so much.
I'm excited for the day that I watch that. I feel like I'm very 50-50 on atmospheric films. Yeah. And obviously the fact that it's horror will probably help me because I'm such, you know, usually atmospheric films that I watch aren't horror. Sure. I've had like moments, but yeah, so I'm excited for that. I also think I've seen like his name is Kane.
Kane Parsons.
Kane. Yeah. He obviously like the creator who's like also behind the movie, his whole concept of the back rooms is like liminal space and I feel like it got so big that like the fandom, it got bigger than Kane's version.
Oh, sure.
You know, and it's all these fan-made things.
Video games. That like crazy.
Became super popular off of his original art.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of like the people who are in that fandom don't even know what is Kane's and what is fan-made.
So true.
And I think they're like expecting certain things because, you know, because of that.
Right.
So I'm happy to go into it with like minimal expectation and like knowledge and just experience it like that.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the way to go. Now that I've seen it, I want to go back. I never watched the original internet stuff. So now I kind of want to go back and like dig into it a little.
Which originates, doesn't it? I mean, I hope I'm not wrong because that would be sad. But I think it like originates with like a picture in a Wisconsin mall or something like that. I feel like it's not just Wisconsin. Uh-huh. I feel like it's my college town.
Okay.
I hope that that's true and I can feel special.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. Okay. That was the third.
Yeah. So that's what I've experienced in horror, aside from the movie I'm covering next week.
Mm-hmm. Which will be really fun. And I've heard.
Yes.
It's popular right now. So I'm excited.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting
week. Oh, dear.
Next week. Let me just put it that way.
Okay. Well, today we are going to be talking about a movie called The House on Sorority Row, 1982. It just happens, I think, to both of us where we're like, okay, I'm ready to go back to the 80s again.
Yes, it's like 80s current, 80s current yes. for me most of the time. Like that's pretty much what I'm doing.
I do like to check in on the 2000s as well sometimes, but like
yeah, I did last week, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I want to like experience more 60s, 70s that I can bring to the podcast, but it feels like there's so few horror movies in those decades that works for the podcast. One day we'll find it, but the 80s always delivers.
Oh, absolutely. Like the slasher energy of the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So this movie is Mark Rosman's directorial debut at only 25 years old.
Damn.
He would go on to direct multiple episodes of Lizzie McGuire.
Okay.
And Even Stevens.
Right. Well, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yes, he also directed A Cinderella Story.
Okay. Wait, this is so bizarre. Okay.
And The Perfect Man, both starring Hilary Duff. So that's cool.
Okay.
I love A Cinderella Story. Shout out to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
This movie had an initial budget of $300,000, but apparently they ran out of money halfway through the movie and Rosman had to secure a loan from his cousin in LA to finish it.
That's a good sign.
I know. I will say I wouldn't have guessed. It feels pretty cohesive from start to finish, but
Good.
It was also a non-SAG production with both of the female leads recalling that they were paid $50 a day per diem for their days on set.
Which is
interesting. It's so rare to see a non-SAG become something. So
true.
Then FVI, an independent distributor, ended up buying the film after principal photography, and they gave the filmmakers an extra $125,000 to get through the post-production costs because they ran out of money for post-production.
Oh my god.
And it was given a limited theatrical release, and in its opening weekend in Las Vegas, it outgrossed Creepshow and Poltergeist at the city's theaters that weekend, which is crazy because, you know, Poltergeist is huge.
Yeah, Poltergeist. That is wild.
But in their, like, opening weekend in Vegas, they beat Poltergeist.
Dang.
Yeah. By the end of its theatrical release, it made around $6 million, so that's a hooray for profit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not positively reviewed by critics at the time.
Shocking.
And even today, it holds a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, so very divisive.
Yeah.
It has its own legacy, though, falling into the cult classic realm for horror lovers. It is referenced in Scream 2, and in 2017, Complex named it the 21st best slasher of all time, which is interesting. It's so weird. I know.
That is really weird. But, you know, it's crazy because you say, like, referenced in Scream 2, and I'm like, maybe that's where I've heard of this film. Because,
gotta
like,
be.
Who's – is it Randy?
Might be Randy. It also might be, I would have to rewatch. It could be Sarah Michelle Gellar because they're like the sorority sisters and Sarah has like that sequence in the house. So she might also have like made a reference to it on the phone.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. Huh. In my opinion, it is a lot of fun and a little wacky, just like what I expect from my 80s slashers.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into it, reminder that we do have a Patreon where you can watch the video versions of this podcast. We also have bonus content over there. That's linked in the description, along with the link to our Discord where you can follow the worksheet that we do ourselves and play along during the episode. With that being said, let's get into The House on Sorority Row. So we start on June 19th, 1961.
Ooh, okay, we're going back.
Mm. A woman named Mrs. Slater is giving birth inside, you guessed it, the house on Sorority Row.
Oh.
The house doesn't appear to be occupied by college girls at the moment. It's just her in her bedroom, and the nurse that's been staying with her has called in Dr. Beck now that she's gone into labor. And she needs a C-section, so the doctor grabs a candle, heats the blade of, what's it called? Scalpel, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah,
Heats the blade of the scalpel in the light of the candle. And just before he cuts her open, he goes, "She's the last one." And then we hear Mrs. Slater's cries as he makes the cut. And unfortunately, after the operation is complete, Dr. Beck tells Mrs. Slater the bad news. The baby didn't make it. She cries out in heartache, and then we immediately fast forward 20 years to 1981.
Okay.
Yeah.
The last one. Interesting.
Weird, yeah. And for some reason, that whole opening scene right there is like, it has a blue hue over it.
Oh.
And I guess they originally wanted it to be black and white, and then the distributor was like, no, you can't do that. I think they were afraid if a movie started in black and white, people would be bored and be like, I don't want to watch this.
Honestly, not a crazy,
especially for the time.
Yeah, I get it.
It wasn't artsy yet to go back to black and white. It was like, oh no, is this a black and white film? I don't want to watch this. I think that might have been the attitude in the 80s or what they thought it would be.
Right.
So they did a blue hue instead, but whatever. So yeah, 1981 now, it's graduation day. Students in their caps and gowns are swarming the campus, and a bunch of sorority girls are packing up their things at the sorority house. We meet Kate, who is, okay, so there's going to be a lot of sorority sisters. I'll tell you which names you need to actually keep straight because most of them you don't need to. But right, Kate is one of them.
I know the vibes.
Kate is very grounded. She's very kind, girl next door vibe. Her mom is there helping her pack when Vicky, important girl.
Okay.
The wild child of the friend group comes bustling in.
Of course, because her name is Vicky.
Like Vicky always has that vibe.
Exactly.
It's crazy. I even I know someone in real life who's a Vicky, and she's like fun, girl, you know?
Yep. That's what Vickies are here for.
Yeah. She comes in. She asks Kate to talk to her for a second in the hallway. And in hushed tones, Vicky asks if Kate – and Kate, too, is such like a nice girl.
Yeah, right.
Name, too.
Mm-hmm.
Asks Kate, can she just stay here until Friday to help them set up the party that they've been planning to throw? And apparently, like, all six of the other girls are staying for it. And it's like grad party. Kate tells Vicky she's in, she'll stay, and Vicky is ecstatic, then tells Kate not to worry about a date for the party because she's already fixed her up with someone.
Oh.
And Kate's like, what?
What?
This is fast, but it's like lighthearted. She's used to Vicky's antics, like, okay, Vicky, I'll talk to whatever boy you're throwing at me this
cute,
time.
Cute, cute.
Then we get an odd scene at the local hospital where Mrs. Slater, still the house mother of that sorority house to this day, she's the okay. woman from that gave birth in the beginning. She is meeting with Dr. Beck, who attempted to deliver her baby all those years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She's telling him that she wants to go and stay at the sorority house for the summer. It's closing to the public today, and she's happiest there. And Dr. Beck advises against it and thinks that it would be better for her to stay at the hospital, but she threatens to, like, out what he did. Oh. And there's, like, a mystery around the threat where it feels like we're talking about more than just, like, a medical mishap mm-hmm. with her birth. Mm-hmm. So he takes the threat seriously. He doesn't want whatever she has on him to get out, and he approves her spending the summer at the sorority house. So off she goes, leaves the hospital.
All right. Interesting. It feels like my initial feeling is like witchy sacrifice because it's, I don't know. That's my initial feeling.
That makes total sense.
Okay.
Yes. Cut to Vicky dragging her boyfriend Rick to a random scrapyard. There's so many scrapyards in the 80s. I don't know.
Yeah, that's so true. Wait a second. Yeah.
Where'd they all
go?
They're
always just hanging out in the scrapyard. Remember, what movie was it? Was it My Bloody Valentine? They were like cooking food on like the...
Yes.
On the car. And I was like, what?
What are we doing?
What were we doing back then, guys?
Love that for you. Feels must be freeing. High School Musical tried to bring it back. You know, true. Boys are back.
Yeah, that was a time also.
Once they're there, she begs him to let her have a go with his gun. And so...
Wait, literal gun or literal? Okay.
Literal gun. Loaded, literal gun. Yes.
Okay. Honestly, I don't know which one's worse.
I know. It's like, it's weird either way. Like, scrapyard is weird if you're talking about that. And then just gun, let's not play with that.
Yeah.
So... He hands it over and tells her to take it slow and be careful. Okay, I'm
you
just thinking about a stick.
Slow.
Oh, wonderful.
No. They did this on purpose.
Take it slow, be careful and everything. But she just goes, she just goes for it and she just starts shooting up everything in sight. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Is her aim good?
Her aim is good.
Oh,
of
okay,
course.
Damn girl.
This is actually a trope of that I really hate, but it's like, it's whatever. It doesn't ruin it either for me. But I hate when they like hand a woman a gun, like a popular show that did this is Stranger Things with Nancy. They just hand a girl a gun and she just immediately is a perfect shot. And it's like, wow, she's so badass. She can shoot a gun. And I hate it. Anyways. Yeah, she has good aim. You can tell she finds it thrilling. It's like a little bit worrisome. Like, why
concerning.
Are you so excited? Yeah.
Huh.
And Rick, at one point, Rick like wraps his arms around her from behind and is like, good job, baby, or something. She's like, get off me. And then she just like keeps shooting. Like, she doesn't care about him. She just is excited about his gun.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Yeah. So he just is like awkwardly standing to the side as she just shoots everything and is like, okay. Okay, this is fun. The gunshot transitions into the sound of a pop of champagne. Later that night, the other six sorority girls are sitting around in a circle getting drunk and making sarcastic toasts to their time spent at the school that they don't give a shit about.
Valid.
When it's Morgan's turn to give her toast, she only gets a couple words out before she starts running for the door because she's going to be sick. She can't handle her liquor. And when she opens the bedroom door... Mrs. Slater is standing on the other side of it, and she is pissed. She has arrived.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. She expected them all to be gone. So Morgan runs off to the bathroom, and Slater walks into the bedroom to start grilling these girls. Like, the house is closed. She wants them all out. Diane explains that the house is the only place that they could afford to hold their graduation party this weekend. And Slater doesn't give a shit and asks, like, whose idea was this? Mm-hmm. Diane says... Well, it was Vicky who thought of it, but we all agreed that it would be a great idea. And, like, the only thing we're missing here is a dramatic dun-dun-dun camera zoom in on Slater as she spits out Vicky. It's like Megan from Drake and Josh. She goes, Vicky, I'll deal with her later. She's got issues with the girl, and she tells the other girls that they can stay for the night, but they all better, like, pack up and leave tomorrow morning.
What authority does she have?
She's just the house mother. You know about house mothers?
Not really. I'm not really
okay,
up so, on sororities.
Yeah. Like every sorority generally has a house mother who's like the boss, who's the manager okay. of the house. Like make sure they're usually like helping, like you girls are going to put on this event and you're going to gotcha. Do the, you know, okay, they're okay. like they're in charge. So.
So they didn't check with her essentially if they could no. hold this party.
Yeah, no. Okay, they did not. Gotcha. They didn't care.
I see.
Okay, so later that night, we get a dramatic sequence where Mrs. Slater is so fed up that she takes all the pictures that she has of her and the sorority girls like smiling in front of the house over the years. Mm-hmm. And she tears them to pieces and like throws them in the fire.
Oh, okay.
She's mad.
Mild overreaction.
Yeah, yeah. And then she grabs this year's photo with like all the girls that we know. And it's in this like fancy glass frame. And she's got this cane that she walks with and it has a very pointy end. And she oh. smashes the frame, shattering the glass with her cane. So she's pissed.
She's really mad.
Yeah. Finally, Vicky and Rick have arrived back at the house for the night.
Vicky and Ricky.
Yes. Cute.
I love it.
They're getting hot and heavy as soon as the car is in park in the driveway. And then Vicky stops them and says that they're not going to do it here. And he's like, huh, this is where we always do it. And then she shakes her head and she's like, not tonight. Count to 20 and meet me upstairs. And off she runs into the house while Rick starts counting. And once he makes it to 20, Rick is standing outside of Vicky's bedroom and he opens the door. Oh, I forgot about this.
Oh, Lord.
It's a Band-Aid. It's going to be over quick.
Okay.
But Vicky's lying on her stomach, like with her feet in the air, and she's like on her waterbed and it's like swaying. Of course it's a waterbed.
Of course. Okay.
And she says to her boyfriend,
oh, no.
referencing the waterbed, she goes, look, I don't want to say, I hate it. Okay. Look. I actually, okay, let me, I can do it.
You're like, ew, I can't say this.
Look, what the fuck? like, if I can't, it's going to get annoying if
the
I can't.
The suspense is killing me.
She goes, look what daddy bought his little girl.
Ew, ew.
Yeah, and she says ew. It like in a voice that I don't like. Ew. All seductive. It's so many levels that I don't enjoy about that. But anyways, yeah. They start getting to it. And Mrs. Slater starts to hear the noises coming from their bedroom. So she decides to pay them a visit.
Oh, Lord.
She sneaks up on them. They're still half clothed. So she's not walking in on anything too insane.
Okay.
But they don't see as she lifts up her pointy cane. And we think for a second that she's about to like literally bring it down on Vicky.
Yeah.
But instead, she hits it down onto the bed, tearing the waterbed open. Yeah. And water just starts gushing everywhere.
Okay. She's still crazy for that.
Yes. I would be so pissed. I don't know what is worse, actually, like stabbing me in the back or stabbing my waterbed yeah. open.
Like, what the fuck? That's so rude.
And then she goes, trash like you doesn't belong in my house.
What?
So that's nice.
What? I'm just going to say it, guys. I'm not a big fan of this lady.
Hot take.
Hot takes coming in.
Vicky chases Slater down the hall, but she's like slipping all over the place in the water that she's dragging with her. And she screams at Slater, I'll get back at you if it's the last thing I do.
Oh.
Yeah. And all the girls' heads are like peeking out of their own rooms at the drama. And they're just like, kind of giggling. Like they just see the water trail and they're like, LOL.
giving summer camp prank.
Yeah, it is. It is. So the next day, all the girls are hanging out around the most disgusting, opaque, green pool that you can imagine.
Ew.
Yeah, apparently Slater doesn't get it cleaned because she says the girls don't use it enough. And then the girls are like, we don't use it because it's never clean. So it's just, it's gotten to a point.
Sure.
Anyway, the girls are chilling and not leaving per Slater's command because apparently there are bylaws that say that they can stay and they refuse to be intimidated by their house mother. And like every other house is open through the weekend. There's a grace period that you can stay and it's still that time. So they're like, whatever, we're staying.
Okay. Yep.
They're eating some KFC and then they're like throwing the chicken bones into the pool.
Oh.
As they joke about what happened to Vicky last night. But Vicky is not laughing. Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't blame her. Is it literally like KFC? Like,
yes.
The general? Oh my God, I love that.
I wonder if it's very obvious that it is. I wonder if the bucket only shows FC, so they got away with it. You know what I mean? Oh. On screen, but I know it's KFC.
It's usually like the other way around though, where like KFC would want that.
Yeah.
Publicity. Usually you pay for that. So I don't
know. Yeah, I wonder. I can't tell if it was paid or if it was just, you know, a little hidden.
Yeah.
So yeah, Vicky, all the girls are just like, LOL, that's so funny what she did to you last night. Vicky's like, what is funny? That's not. And
yeah,
she tells them that she really thinks Slater was aiming to kill. And Diane's like, oh, come on. You deserved it. Can't you fuck anywhere else?
What? But in your own room?
Yeah.
Like what?
My bedroom.
Like, who do you mean?
So yeah, the girls are like really concerned and supportive. And
yes,
Vicky tries to rally the girls together, make them think about all the times that Slater has screwed every single one of them over. And she goes, Slater loves a tradition. How about we pull an old-fashioned sorority prank on her if she loves tradition so much? Oh. Cue milk and cereal.
Oh, true. Now, you know what? A prank can be fun in film. So
yes.
I mean, I don't think it's a good idea. But
right,
I'm
but
here for
it. It can be entertaining.
Exactly.
The girls are down. They're excited, and they all start throwing around their ideas. Things like a bucket of water over her door, or glue on her toilet seat. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then Vicky interrupts them all and is like, "I've got it." And Kate, good girl Kate, interrupts and is like, "No, this is silly. We're supposed to be like mature adults by now, right, girls? Right?"
Right.
And the girls are like, "No, I'm not into that. Like, I don't want to be
into maturity.
It's not my thing."
Oh, I know so many people who are like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
You know,
you
truly.
Do.
So Vicky looks at Kate all high and mighty, like, haha, the girls are on my side. They want to pull the prank. And then we cut away before we get to hear Vicky's prank idea that apparently is going to happen right before the party on Friday.
Oh, boy.
Now we're with Dr. Beck in his office. He's reviewing Mrs. Slater's now processed brain scans, and he's talking into a recorder where he states that he believes that she should not be alone in an uncontrolled environment for the summer, that she should be under constant clinical supervision, and that anything that her brain deems traumatic could trigger violence in her.
Hmm.
So that is awesome. The prank should go swimmingly.
That's, yeah, I'm not worried about this at all.
Yeah. Back to the girls, Vicky's showing off Rick's gun to all the girls, letting them pass it around. And again, Kate is the voice of reason here, and she's like, hey, pulling a prank is one thing, but a gun, like we're going to use a gun for the prank? That seems crazy.
Milk and cereal.
I know. As this was happening, I was like, this is so weird. Like, this always happens to me. It's like red car theory where you see one red car and yes. then you see red cars everywhere. It happens to me so much with this podcast where it's like, mm-hmm. all of a sudden this actor is in this and they were also yep. in this and this. It's like, oh, we're doing it again.
Yeah.
I do wonder if there's any inspiration, like, if they took any inspiration from this, because it's like right. a gun prank isn't really something I've seen a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vicky just like laughs with, because Kate was just like, should we not? And Vicky laughs and has like the attitude that Mrs. Slater deserves it and she's going to be in for a big surprise.
Oh. Okay.
So on Friday, they're all decorating the house for the party and Mrs. Slater comes stomping in telling them to take it down and leave. And for some reason, this is all a disgrace. Streamers are just a disgrace, okay?
Live streamers. We are a disgrace to society.
That too, okay? Prank bros like that too. It all comes together.
Exactly. Wow. Love that.
Vicky just looks at her seeing that she's not walking with her cane. And she goes, looks like you're missing something, Mrs. Slater. And Slater looks at her and asks where it is. She knows Vicky did something with her cane.
Oh.
And Vicky tells her to check the pool. So all the girls follow Slater out to the pool where her cane is sitting atop a tire floating in the middle.
Okay.
And Vicky goes, go ahead, take a swim. You like getting people wet, right? Which, like, we could have said that differently, but...
Yeah, we could have.
You know, she's trying to, you know, you got... You drenched me in my waterbed. You're going to take a swim in the pool, you know? Yeah. Slater answers, I should teach you a lesson or two. And Vicky pulls Rick's gun out of her waistband and points it at Slater.
Okay, this isn't a prank.
No.
This is just messed up.
It's really fucked up. So she asks Slater, like, are you threatening me? As she points a gun at her. And Slater's pissed. And mm-hmm. she just tells them that if the gun is real, they're all going to be in serious trouble. And Vicky continues, "We just thought you'd need some persuading. Come on, it's just a swim. It's not much to ask for 4 years of putting up with your shit. Now go on."
Nope.
Crazy.
Nope, this is not. I mean, given our information, it's bad. But even without that, even I don't care how bad someone is. No. Like, this is never the solution.
It's never okay. Like, now this you're the villain.
Exactly.
You know?
This is not being the bigger person.
Yeah. Slater tries to walk past her, telling her to get out of her way. Like, she's not going to let herself be intimidated by – she doesn't think that this is going to be real. She's like, okay, I'm done. I'm just walking away from this.
Yeah.
But Vicky cocks the gun, turns, and shoots out a nearby lamppost.
Oh, Vicky.
So now Slater, along with all the other girls, freak out.
Yeah.
The gun being loaded clearly wasn't part of the initial prank. Mm-hmm. So Liz tells Vicky to stop, that she's going too far, but Vicky argues that they all wanted this. Liz charges at Vicky and says, "Someone's going to get hurt. Give me that gun." Vicky panics and shoots again, and the shot fires right at Liz's ankle.
Oh,
and Liz falls dear. To the ground, like grabbing her ankle, crying out in pain. She's bleeding, and the girls start to run to help her, but Vicky stops them and insists in like the calmest voice ever. She goes, "No, she's all right."
she's Vicky, all right. What?
Girls, uh-oh. Don't freak out. Yeah.
Oh, Vicky's a little crazy. Okay.
Then she turns back to Slater, the gun aimed for her again, and tells her to move it and get in the pool. Slater slowly backs away and takes the little ladder into the pool until she's completely standing in it. And then Vicky starts shooting.
What?
She shoots 3 times, but Slater is fine because these last 4 gunshots have been, or 3 gunshots have been blanks. Actually, I was correct in 4, the last 4, because she shot at Slater 3 times. And then when she shot at Liz, hey, guess what? Liz starts laughing and stands up. Her ankle hasn't actually been shot. So there's 1 real bullet to shoot out the lamppost to scare everybody. And then they just did blanks. Oh. Like, her and Liz were in on the real prank.
Oh my God, it really is milk and cereal.
It's literally milk. I'm like, this, I really wonder if they were That's thinking so about this.
Interesting.
So, yeah, she and Vicky turn on the girls and they just can't believe that they all bought this and they're laughing. And they all, of course, start fighting. Kate's screaming at Vicky, is saying that this isn't okay. And in all the fighting and commotion, Vicky ends up pulling the trigger again by accident. And this time, a real bullet flies into Slater, like right through her chest.
Oh, dear.
The girls panic and jump in the water, like pulling her up out of the pool. They attempt to administer CPR, but it's not working. She's dead. Katie screams at them to call an ambulance, that maybe there could still be a chance. They don't check for a pulse. They're just like, maybe she's not dead. We don't know. But all the girls are like too scared to call the ambulance because they're afraid that they're going to get in trouble.
Oh, well, yeah. You're going to have to do it anyway.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I get, like, Vicky should be scared, but honestly, like, any of the other girls, most of the girls, maybe even Liz, but most of the girls didn't even know that this was mm-hmm. what the prank was.
Mm-hmm. I would they throw Vicky under the bus.
Yeah, yeah. I would have no issue. Yeah, I think because they thought, I assume that it's just, like, pointing an unloaded gun at her, which is crazy to agree to and sickening, yeah. But they didn't know it was going to have blanks, that it was going to be loaded with anything real. Right. So I'd rat out, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's Vicky's idea, of course, to wrap Slater's body in towels, tying them tight around her with rope, and then push her to the bottom of the pool for tonight just to get through the party because the band is like pulling up right now. And she's like, okay, we can't deal with this right now. Let's just like make her sink to the bottom of the pool. And then tomorrow morning we'll deal with her and figure out a better place to hide her body.
Y'all are just going to go party right now.
Yeah, we got a party. Grad party.
We have to party. Oh my God. Okay.
And as they all run back to the house, we see, so they do that, they push her in and everything. But as they run back to the house, we see the body float back up to the surface of the pool. So like, good job girls. Guys.
Yeah.
Cut to the party that night. We've got a disco Ooh-hoo. Ball up. We've got streamers everywhere. The band is playing. Yes. Everybody's dancing. And the band is so 80s.
Yeah,
I can't imitate it, but they have like such an 80s voice and vibe. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Outside, though, as the party is going on, we're getting shots of like towels being shed and Slater's cane digging into the ground again being used. Oh. Yeah. It's all very mysterious, though, because we don't actually see Mrs. Slater. But right. these shots are basically being like, oh, shit, Slater is alive.
She's alive.
And then now we have a drunk party goer that stumbles out by the pool and he gets a cane to the throat and dies.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he gets dragged into the woods. So.
Wait, but am I going to root for her, Loki?
Right.
Because I just don't like Vicky right now.
No. Yeah. Well, this is our first survivability check-in.
All righty.
Yeah. I have four questions for you.
Okay. I will answer four questions.
First, how unlikely are you to be part of a sorority?
Ooh. I would say unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Oh, da, 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 da. When I was in college, like 0% that I would be in.
Okay.
Well, 100%.
Yeah. This
scenario. Now, higher likelihood. My college didn't have sororities. So like, you know, I got to like shed some of that. Okay. But still, we're going to be high here because I just don't. That's never seemed.
Yeah. Like I'm tired, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, no.
Like you have to do. It's like so much work. I'm just trying to get through school.
Yeah,
I kind of
want
to just take a nap, if that's okay.
I'm going to go 91.
Yeah, I went 90.
Okay, yeah. Because, like, I just am like, why? No, yeah. It doesn't interest me.
Yeah. Especially one like this, because my college did have frats and sorority, but it was kind of, they were, like, nice. And a lot of them, you didn't have to live in the houses. You just could be a part of it and just like participate as like a club more than like this really intense, serious, more southern sure. mindset that sororities and frats have.
Yeah.
So it was chill. But even that, I was like, I'm tired.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Would you refuse to pull the gun prank on Mrs. Slater?
I wouldn't want to, but if the rest of the group was doing it, I wouldn't stop it. I wouldn't be like the one person to stop it.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, walking away from it.
Yeah. Let me think. Ooh. Oh, this is horrible. What they do is so horrible.
Yeah.
But I fear that I would just, like, follow the group.
Okay.
As much as, like, that's terrible, I just feel like I would be such a follower, especially at that age. Would you refuse? I'm going to say 45.
Wow. I went 95.
Wow. Good for
you.
I would leave.
Like, my mom's already here. I packed up my stuff. You know, she wasn't even going to stay for the party. I'd probably be that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just going to leave. Bye. Mm-hmm. You have fun with that. And I know this because of an embarrassing moment in my teenage years where, I mean, we both are goody two-shoes, especially when we were younger. But I remember going to the movies with my friends and we wanted to do a double feature. Like, there were two movies that we really wanted to see. Okay, so we watched them back to back. Bought my tickets for the first one, went to the first one. All my other friends were like, we're not going to go buy the second ticket. We're just going to go to the movie.
Yep.
Whatever. And I was like, I can't do that. You guys can do that. And then I like went back around to the front and I bought a second ticket.
Absolutely.
And it's just like, even down to like stupid stuff like that, I just, I don't care what the crowd is doing, you know?
In that situation, I definitely would go do
okay.
the same thing. I was so scared of getting in trouble, but
yeah.
I don't know, there's something about this where I'm like, I could see myself, especially if I think it's like a harmless prank.
Okay.
I'm like, the gun's not loaded.
Okay.
Do I think it's good? No.
Yeah.
But I think I could see myself just being a follower.
Okay. Would you decide not to throw a party after accidentally killing someone?
Yeah. I am going to give myself a 100 on this because what the fuck?
Like, I went 99.
Are you going to have fun? No. You're not going to have a good time.
I don't care that the band is pulling up. Tell them to leave.
Yeah. They got to go. I'm canceled. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so funny. I can't believe that they do that. And then finally, how unlikely are you to drunkenly stumble away from a party on your own?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, dude. The things I would do... I'm not like, listen, we have a mutual friend. Her name is Carrie. I am not Carrie level.
I was thinking about her with this
literally,
question.
Carrie would be,
She would be running into the arms of a killer.
She would. She'd be like, oh my God, who are you? Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
But like, I like to do dumb shit. And especially if I'm drunk, I'm looking for adventure when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
Let's go. I don't care what
if
the
I were you
is.
I would, this is valid, but I would consider a little bit like, would you even be getting, no, you can't consider if you'd be getting drunk because this is someone who doesn't know what's going on. Okay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So you would be getting drunk because why wouldn't you, you know?
I mean, I don't know why I'd want to leave the party though.
Yeah, I don't do that. I like to be around people. I don't want to be on my own.
Yeah, well, like why do they leave?
I think they're just like checking out the backyard and checking out the pool and they're just curious and they're just
willing to.
Yeah, it is a curiosity thing, which I know you have the curiosity bug.
I do. Yeah, no, this is this. I'm going to go 31.
Okay. I went 85.
Okay.
And this is more so because every time I've gotten drunk in college, specifically where I'm more like around a lot of people, I've never like left on my own.
The group?
Yeah, I don't. I've never done that. I don't do that. And so like even drunk, I don't do that. And then I especially don't do that in general because, you know, I have such a fear of being murdered.
Right.
So I don't like to be on my own. So that's why I'm there.
Fair enough.
Okay. So that brings my act one score to a 92%.
I got my current least favorite number.
Oh.
67%.
Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I apologize to you because it's my questions that led to that, you know? Yeah,
thank you for making me say that number today. I really was looking forward to that.
Ugh. All right. Back at the party, Katie is alone on her room's balcony upstairs. She's not really in the partying mood.
Really?
But the guy that Vicky set up for her has arrived. His name is Peter.
Oh, hey, Peter.
And Vicky lets him know where Katie is, so he ends up finding her in her room crying. Yeah. And she quickly pulls herself together when he introduces himself and he asks if she's okay and would like rather be left alone, which is very nice because I feel like especially like in the 80s.
Yeah.
I should say 80s movies.
Right.
Most guys would be like oblivious that they were even crying. So he seems sweet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She promises that she's fine. So they head down to the party. He says he's going to go grab himself a drink. And then we get this slow tracking shot from like sorority girl to sorority girl around the party, just looking at each other. Everyone else around them is like having fun and partying. And then they're just all like, this is fine.
Yeah. Wait, that's fun. I like that.
Yeah, I like this shot. Then they hear a scream sound from outside. So all the girls go running and they find two college guys have a girl by her arms and legs swinging her like they're about to throw her in the pool.
Oh,
you know, as you do.
Yeah.
And they scream at them to stop, like, please do not throw someone in the pool right now.
True. Right.
Yeah. And surprisingly, they do. But then one of the guys pushes Diane into the pool before running off just to be a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls help her out. And then they realize as they stare at the pool that someone could just turn on the pool lights if they wanted to and could possibly see the body. It's pretty murky, but there's a possibility.
Sure, sure.
So Stevie is the one to go down into the sorority house basement alone to turn off the breaker so that the pool lights can't be activated.
Oh, okay.
And she does turn them off. She gets to the breaker, switches it off. But when she is standing at the breaker box, a red and blue striped plastic ball rolls toward her out of nowhere.
Okay.
She picks it up confused. And it's the kind where like when you shake it, it like jingles and there's something in it that makes it, I don't know.
Okay.
And then in the corner of the basement, there's a light bulb hanging from a string. And that string is like swaying back and forth.
Ooh.
So what does she do? She slowly walks toward it. And she grasps the bulb to make it stop swinging. And that's when someone, we don't see who, pops out, grabs her, and then stabs her to death with the cane.
So, I wonder.
Although
they could twist this.
This whole time, I was like, genuinely, I was like unsure the whole time. Like, is this actually Mrs. Slater?
Right.
Or is it someone else because of the way it's being shot? I was like not actually sure. Yeah.
Well, because if, like, you're showing the cane and all that, like, what's the point in hiding it if it is just her anyway?
Right.
It's reminding me, actually, of My Bloody Valentine. It was a similar thing where you're like, is it just the guy from the past or, yeah, like, you know, whatever.
Now up to the party again. What they're about to do here is nightmare fuel to me.
Oh, Lord.
The band tells all of the graduating women to come up to the front of the stage. And for some reason at this graduation party, the only graduating women are our core sorority sisters. Mm. No one else is graduating tonight. They're just here to party.
Oh, fair.
And the band starts playing a slow song. And the idea here is for the guys at the party to take their pick of the girls, the graduating girls, and like slow dance with them.
Ew.
I hate it. It's like, okay, these girls are up for auction tonight.
Yeah, what the f- that's yeah. so bizarre.
It's really odd. So of course, Peter dances with Katie. That's going well. And then Rick dances with Vicky, boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right,
and
right.
He's like, hey, where's my gun? And how did that prank on Slater go? And she's like, great. It was so good.
It was so funny.
Again, they hear an, oh my God, come from outside. And they're paranoid. So like anytime they hear something happening yeah. outside, they're like, ah, let's go see what it is.
Yep.
So again, they all run to the pool. The pool lights have been turned on.
Uh-oh.
And a man has jumped in.
Oh, not a man.
And they stare at him in shock, and he stares back, and then he just goes, I'm a sea pig. So.
He's a sea pig.
Yeah. So good for you.
What?
I don't know.
What is that even?
I think it's his version of mermaids. Like, he's a sea pig, and he's just having fun being a sea. He's drunk. I don't know.
I love that for him. You know, that's really nice for him.
Yeah, very good for him. But cut to a scene where all the girls congregate to talk in the kitchen because when they were out there and looked in the pool, right. Hey, so Mrs. Slater's body isn't in there.
Oh boy, where did it go?
Yeah, so now they're considering the idea of her being alive. They're stressed because they can't find Stevie anywhere. Katie thinks maybe Slater is alive, climbed out of the pool, and like she probably passed out somewhere, like from what she's been through. Like, she can't be up and walking around, you know?
Yeah.
So she's concerned that she's like bleeding out somewhere and they need to find her and help her. Vicky's convinced that Slater is definitely dead because if she was alive, she would have managed to call the police and they would be here already.
Mm.
Either way, they all agree that they need to find her dead or alive.
Yeah.
So Vicky sends Morgan up to Mrs. Slater's room and tells her to pack up her clothes to make it look like she left, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, sure.
So Morgan's doing that, taking Slater's clothes out of her closet. And unfortunately, the camera pans up to the ceiling of this closet where there's a trap door to the attic.
Oh.
That pops open and eventually someone drops down on her. It cuts to black, but she gets knocked out.
Okay.
Cut to the girls crowded around her, forcing her to drink water. Morgan sputters awake and complains that the water isn't alcohol, like mood. And then the girls look over to the closet where Mrs. Slater's dead body, still wrapped up and tied, is lying on the floor. And they're like, how the hell did she manage to get in the attic? So basically her body fell on Morgan and knocked her out.
Oh, interesting. Weird.
And they are like thinking that she got up into the attic herself.
Yeah.
And then fell out. I don't know. And so Vicky's like, who cares? We just need to get rid of the body. We can hide her at the old cemetery. No one will look there. No one will look at an old cemetery. Okay.
My God.
Great idea. So I guess they're assuming that she was alive she made it up to the attic, but then she fell out of the attic and now she's actually dead. That's what they're thinking is happening here.
Okay.
Morgan finally is able to get up again, and when she peers over the girl's shoulders into the closet and fully realizes what fell on her, she screams and she runs from the room. Katie starts to run after her, but Vicky stops her and tells her to let it go. She says that Stevie and Morgan are cowards for leaving this mess to them. And Katie ends up giving a nice old-fashioned 80s slap, goofy sound effects and all, to Vicky's face. And then she goes and she starts looking for Morgan anyways to go and like comfort her.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she's having trouble finding her at the party, so she's just looking for Morgan. Well, the reason she can't find Morgan is because Morgan's just in her room. Okay, there's no reason she can't find Morgan. Like, why would you not look in her room
first? In her room? Yeah,
and then go down to the party? I don't know. But Morgan's just in her room.
Sure.
She's taking her dress off so we can see her boobs before putting her nightgown on.
Well, of course.
But then her bedroom balcony door swings open a little, So she walks over and opens it up and like looks out onto the balcony, and she finds a Jack in the Box on her balcony.
Okay.
She winds it and it plays the music, and she just laughs happily, ha ha ha. And then she gets skewered from behind with the cane.
What do you mean she thinks it's like...
It was really odd.
Okay, there's a lot wrong with this because one, why aren't you scared that that's like magically on your balcony?
Yes.
Two, no one likes a Jack in the Box.
No.
Nobody is happy to see one.
I do wonder when that changed. I think it must have been... I think even in the 80s, they were creepy.
They were never a good idea. No. It's a jump scare in a box. That's literally what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like no baby wants that.
No. Now we've got Vicky, Jeannie, Diane, and Liz carrying Mrs. Slater's body out of the back door of the house.
Okay.
The party's just all happening in the front, thank God. Vicky hands over Liz's car keys to Diane, despite Liz screaming that she doesn't want her car to be the one that is used for this. Yeah. But apparently it's the only one that isn't blocked in, so.
I'm not allowing that to happen.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I'm not really part of this at this point, so.
I'm just going to leave. Hey, yeah, you guys probably. Have fun.
Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. So Diane runs off with instructions to drive the car out to the old garage and that they'll meet her there with the body. So Vicky, Jeannie, and Liz lift Slater's body into a garbage can, like a dumpster, so that they can move her better. So they're going to just like push this dumpster.
Yeah.
Okay. Out to the old garage.
Sure.
Over to Katie, she's now deciding to go up into the attic above Slater's room, still looking for Morgan.
In the attic before her own room, right? That's a good...
I will say, okay. I let this go because I'm assuming she checked the room and the body has already been like moved.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But like, why would she be in the attic? I don't know.
Never
so
know.
By the light of a cozy candle, she has a look around in this attic, and it doesn't feel like your typical old dusty attic. It feels like time has been spent up here, and there are children's toys everywhere.
Lovely.
Building blocks, toy trains, a rocking horse, things like that.
Not a rocking horse.
She, I take it back.
Forever triggered because of that freaking movie.
She does find a light switch eventually, so we don't have to rely on the candle anymore. And most notably, she finds like a little kid's birthday card that says, "To Eric, love mother."
Oh.
And then she also finds a giant adult-sized clown suit. So that's promising. That's awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, like party clown.
Yeah, could be fun.
Yeah, that's fine.
She's starting to get a little freaked out when she gets jump scared by her blind date, Peter. He's like, "Hey, I saw you coming up here," but then he seems to like really be taking in his surroundings, and he's like, "Wow, this room is neat." And he's like, is really into it.
Okay.
And there are just a bunch of toys that he remembers from his childhood, and he gets on this little like toy tractor and is like, "I used to love this thing." Meanwhile,
all right, Peter. Read the room, Peter.
Katie's just begging him to like go back downstairs.
Uh-huh.
And when he steps back up off the tractor, he hits his head on a hanging bird cage, and then his face goes pale when he sees that inside it there is a bloody dead bird.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor bird.
Again, Katie just tells him to go back downstairs, and this time, now freaked out, he listens. Out to Diane in the car in the garage, waiting for the girls to show up, she keeps hearing noises coming from the back of this van. And she gets out and she starts yelling out, like asking if it's the girls arriving with the body. Big shocker, it's not. So she decides to get back in the van and keep waiting for them. But the noises happen again. I think you could write it off as like, is there like a raccoon underneath the car, like pitter pattering around this car?
Yep.
You could mistake it as that, but it's weird. And she looks up and she sees the car roof window is open. And down comes the cane, piercing through her hand and then piercing her again and again until we get an RIP.
Wow.
For another girl whose name is too hard to remember. Diane.
Sorry, Diane.
Yeah. This is our second survivability check-in.
Hey. All right.
Yep.
Oh, no. This is interesting because this movie, it feels like it does get to a point where you're like, I just wouldn't continue to be a part of this.
Yeah, I have six questions.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So How unlikely are you to go turn off the breaker for the pool in the basement alone? I will say at this point, they don't know that the body isn't there. Right. So they just think, you know, they accidentally killed someone. There's a dead body in the pool. That's crazy. Yeah. But they have no reason to be afraid of anyone doing anything right now.
Sure. So I feel like it's not crazy unlikely, but I would prefer to take a buddy. Just because it's the basement and like basements are just spooky. I'm going to say 38. Because if someone was like, hey, can you just go take care of this? I'd be like, yeah, sure. But I'd rather someone come with me.
You know I went high. You know I'm scared.
I do know you went high.
I went 89.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. I just don't want
to
do that.
I don't want to. The end of the story.
Yeah, that's it. Would you run out of the basement as soon as the ball rolls toward you and light bulbs start swinging around? Would you just run out of the basement?
Okay, give me a second. I got to put myself in the basement for a second.
Yeah.
I'm in the basement.
It's freaky. It's dark. A jingly ball, children's toy, rolls toward you from the darkness. And then a light bulb in the corner starts swinging around.
Okay, I definitely shit myself.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, no, I do think I leave.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because like there is the part of my brain that's like, ooh, paranormal tropes, because that's what it feels like. But no, I'm definitely going to think it's a human. So yeah, am I running out? I'm going to say 86.
Yeah, I went 95. Oh, I'm gone.
Yeah, there's a little part of me that's like, oh, is there a ghostie over there?
No. But then you need to go find a buddy to investigate with.
Yeah, that's what I think I would do.
I think that's what you would do too. Yeah, you would be like, well, you would initially think it's a human. Then you'd be like, maybe it was a ghost. And you'd go find your friend and you'd be like,
yeah,
let me tell you what just happened. Should
There's
we go
a
see?
Ghost in the basement. Yeah.
Yeah, I've run out of a basement before because of my sister's stupid doll that like was like light censored. I heard come play with me coming from the basement. Oh, I was up the stairs so fast. Like, goodbye.
That's awesome.
Okay, so how unlikely are you to go to your bedroom to be alone after a dead body falls on you, knocking you out for a couple minutes? There's just so many. I really am like harping in on this because the reason everyone's dying is because they keep going off alone. So in this situation, she was in the closet and the dead body fell on her. She comes to. And then she decides this is all too scary and too much. And she goes to her bedroom and changes into her nightgown and wants to be alone in her room.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
I do not want to be alone right now. Yeah.
I was. No. 96.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went 90. I went 90 just because it's like, maybe the idea of wanting to be alone in a high stress situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level where I can understand.
Oh,
and I'm
absolutely.
Like taking into the account like that I've just been knocked out. Maybe I'm not thinking clearly.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's like, yeah, why would you do that?
No,
why would you run off by yourself after that?
With you on that.
Okay. So would you?
Oh, Lord.
Would you leave your bedroom instead of investigating that your balcony door that just swung open?
Ooh. I'm going to check the balcony.
Caitlin. Don't ever check the balcony.
Okay. But like, it was probably the wind.
No.
My door opened the other night.
I just got knocked.
Wind.
No. Okay. I don't like that.
It was very, very windy.
Yeah. But we just got knocked out with a dead body. I'm a little on edge.
Oh, true.
I'm not in an investigative, it's just that's the wind true. Mood at this point, I don't think.
No, you're right. I keep forgetting who's who, and I think that's part of my problem.
No, that's fair. And also, like, Stevie is, like, still missing at this point.
Right.
The girl who died in the basement, they are aware. They're like, where is Stevie? There's a weird energy happening.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure what's going on yet, but yeah.
The balcony opens. I think I still check it if we're going 50-50. But I wouldn't – if I saw the jack in the box, like, I wouldn't grab it and play with it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So
factor that into this because Jack in the Box isn't a separate question.
Okay. Then I'm going to go like 72 on this one.
Okay. Yeah. I went 99 because I'm scared. And if that happened, I'm running out the door.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Next, would you refuse to go fetch the car on your own to meet the girls at the garage?
I'm not participating in that entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole situation, I'm not a part of that.
Okay.
Because I think after.
So you can give yourself 100% here.
I do think so.
Yeah.
Because once somebody died, I would have to go to the cops immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not waiting around because you guys want to try and cover it up. Like that's not even remotely.
Insane.
Even if it was like the worst person of all, like I don't do well with guilt. Mm-hmm. If I feel I've done something wrong, I need to like address mm-hmm. it immediately.
Yep.
Otherwise, I'm just not going to be myself.
Yep.
Until I have addressed it. I'm going to go 99.
Okay. I did go 85.
Okay.
Because I think for some reason, I don't know if like feeling the energy of the actual movie in front of me plays into this, but there's sure. just like a type of energy here where it's like everyone is just being so indecisive and like, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to. And yes, I would have left. I would have left in act one.
Right.
But being here now, I could see myself being like, oh my God, fuck it. Then I'll do it. Like right, you guys are pissing right. me off. you know?
So real. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel that a little bit here, but I mean, I'm still really high at 85, but
right.
it's actually one of my lower ones for some reason, because the girls were all just like stressing me out.
And you were just pissed and you're like, fine.
yes. Yeah.
Fucking fine.
So then finally, would you run away when you start hearing weird noises sitting alone in the car waiting for the girls?
I think I would be more of a freeze girly.
Mm. I would start running, but it would feel like my dreams where I'm just like my legs aren't working.
Slow-mo.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's so unsettling.
Yeah.
Would I run away if I heard noises? I don't think I would.
Wow.
I think I would attribute it to something else.
Like a raccoon.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to jump to there's somebody here trying to kill me.
Okay.
So I unfortunately am going to go like 15.
I went 95.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
I just like can't. I just don't think I would see it as a threat. And I think that's what.
That's
would
so
get me.
Funny.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to go back to therapy.
Cassie sees everything as a threat.
I do. I've literally done that before where like I remember I would have to like park at my parents' house. I have to park outside, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have like a spot in the garage and they have like a big driveway. And if I hear a noise like from the nearby woods,
mm-hmm.
I've run into the house.
Really?
Yes. And there's no weird vibe. It's just...
You're just like, oh my God.
I just get so scared. And I'm like, there could be like a killer in the woods and they're waiting yeah. for me. And that's just a typical Tuesday for me.
Wow.
Running into my parents' house from.
A typical like, Tuesday. Yeah. Cassie just running from everything.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. So my act two score is the same as my act one score, 92%.
What's weird is I am not the same, but only okay. 1% higher than
Whoa.
My first act.
Thank so God.
I know. 68%.
Okay. Yeah.
68. I joke that that's the safe number.
Between the two.
Between the two horrible numbers.
Yes. Yeah.
68. It's a little safe, scared number.
Yeah. Interesting that we are kind of just in the same boat pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to Vicky, Jeannie, and Liz. They're still pushing that garbage bin down the road. It's a big one. You
I
know?
Forgot. We're pushing a body in a garbage bin.
pushing
right?
that dumpster. Yes. And they end up accidentally pushing it straight into a parked police car that they somehow didn't notice.
A parked police car.
Yeah.
Of all of the things that you could be hitting right
Their
now.
Their lights are on, too.
No, you. That's bullshit is what that is.
I know. I know.
Nah. Oh, no. Whoops.
Ugh. And
I saw an ambulance yeah. like a mile Bro. Behind me on the road yesterday. And I
exactly.
actually panicked because, like, I don't know, that catches your eye and it's a jump
yeah.
scare.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the movie is like, they can't see past the dumpster. I know those lights are bouncing everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
They can see it.
Oh, wow.
There is a very annoyed police officer getting out of that driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie turns. This was so weird. Jeannie turns to the girls and is like, oh, no, my dress. Which, like, I don't know what she's talking about. And I don't know what, like, if I missed something. But the girls are like, go run. So Jeannie runs off, leaving Liz and Vicky to face the officer.
Oh.
I was like, it would make sense if she had blood on her dress.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
she,
yeah.
there's no reason she would.
Right.
There's, like, no reason. Like, when did we ever, like, encounter blood? These girls.
I always I always am just like, it had to be a deleted scene.
Maybe.
That they just like didn't transfer properly.
It has to be.
That's so weird.
Is it like ripped up and she's like, oh no, he can't see my thigh. And like she runs. It literally might be that.
My thigh.
I don't know.
That's so funny.
Anyways, yeah. So now we have Liz and Vicky. He tells them to come over and stand by his car. Then he gets on his radio and just like immediately reports them as two suspects. What? I don't know. And he's judging them for taking out the trash right now. And Vicky's like, we always take out the trash on Friday nights. And then the officer stares at her and goes, at 1:43 in the morning. And
I've done it.
Really?
Yes.
I don't because I'm afraid I'm going to get snatched off the street.
Well, of course you are. No, because like it mine has to be out super early in the morning. So sometimes if I don't want to like get up super early, I'll just put it out the night before. And like that can be because the night that I put out my trash is the same night I have spooky friends. So like it's, you
yeah,
know,
late.
Sometimes it's super late by the time the trash goes out.
Oh my God, that's scary. Okay.
Cassie's like, okay, so now I also need access to a Ring doorbell that you're going to put on your house.
Yeah. Like sharing locations isn't enough, clearly. So if I just see you're at home, you could be dead in the driveway.
That's so true. That's so true. No, so many people have my location now because of the boat incident.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's about to look inside the dumpster, the officer, but then he gets a call on the radio, like telling him to report back to the station.
Oh.
So he just tells the girls to get the dumpster back to the house and stay off the road for the night. And that's that. Jeannie, who, you know, doesn't want to show thigh, has made it back to the house. And as she opens the back gate, a cane comes swinging and hits her in the head.
Oh.
She's okay, though. She just screams and, like, keeps running into the house where she runs into Katie in the kitchen.
Okay.
Katie's freaking out because two of the girls are missing now. She can't find Stevie and she still can't find Morgan.
Right.
And now Jeannie's telling her that she was attacked with a cane.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, shit. Like, they're realizing things.
Good job, guys. Good job.
Yeah. Mrs. Slater is alive and they're like, she's coming for our necks. Like, this is bad. But so
her body's in the dumpster. Well,
they think these two girls, because so now Vicky and Liz have no idea. These two girls, having gotten attacked by the cane, they think that she must be alive and they don't know whose body that is.
Okay, right. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
So who knows what she's going to do? The party is still kind of going, by the way, but it's like winding down. People are starting to leave.
Sure.
Jeannie alone in the kitchen, because Katie was like, just stay right here. I'm going to figure this out. And then she leaves and I'm like, where are you going? What are you figuring out? I don't know. But she leaves. I think they just need Jeannie to be alone.
What are you doing?
So yeah, she's alone. She grabs a kitchen knife.
Okay.
And then she has to puke because she's freaked out.
Oh, so I thought it was because the alcohol. But
probably mixed in with that too.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Jeannie runs down the hall to the communal bathroom and goes into a stall and pukes into the toilet. And while she's in there, the showers all start turning on. And she's like, that's weird. And then every sink starts turning on slowly. Mm-hmm. And then we hear footsteps coming closer to the stall. And she has her knife still. So she brought it with her. Good. She braces herself. But the cane has leverage with its length. So as soon as that stall opens, the cane hits her in the throat before she can do any knife damage. And that's an RIP to Jeannie.
Oh.
Well, now, Katie, I don't remember, is back in the kitchen looking for Jeannie, and she's fed up because she's like, what the fuck? Now I have three girls missing.
I know.
And
damn it,
Peter,
how dare you die?
I know. Stop dying. Like, it's just annoying.
It's really getting on my nerves.
Peter pops up again asking if she's okay.
Peter, just go away. Like, we really don't need you around right now. I'm so sorry.
Literally, she's like, please just go. I have three missing friends. I'm calling the police. Like, shit's going down. I'm stressed out. I need you to just go. Mm-hmm. And she actually does call the police.
Oh.
But as they answer, Peter says to her, shouldn't you talk to your house mother first? Like, she should be the one in charge of taking care of all this.
Right, about that.
And then, like, we get this shot of Kate thinking about Slater again. Like, clearly she's like, oh, yeah, how we have a house mother, Slater, and we killed her. Something bad, or she's dead, or she's hurt, or she's killed. I don't know what she's thinking, but she decides to hang up the phone and not talk to the police. That's basically what I'm building up to. Yeah, I don't know why. It's stupid. I hate it.
Yes.
So finally, Peter listens, though, when Katie, like, literally is like, please leave. He actually listens and leaves. Mm-hmm. Which at that point, I actually do feel kind of weird that he's doing that, because wouldn't you want to help
this
girl? I mean, if she doesn't want your help, she doesn't want your help.
That's,
you know,
true. But that's true.
Now, Vicky and Liz have made it with their dumpster out to the car at the old garage. But what the heck? Diane is nowhere to be seen.
Oh, no.
They're like, okay, whatever. Like, we just need to get rid of this body. So that's all that's happening there. They're going to be doing that on their own.
Okay.
Now, Katie thinks it's good to go walk around outside alone at the back gate where Jeannie got attacked. So she's just walking around outside alone. Sure. And on the ground, she finds a medical tag necklace that belonged to Slater. Because she knows, because it has her name on it. And it says, in case of an emergency, call this number.
Oh.
And there's a phone number. So for some reason, this emergency number she is willing to call.
Yes.
Instead of the police.
What?
And a random man answers and asks what's wrong. She tells the man that a girl was attacked and that that's where she found this tag and that three girls are missing now. And the man goes, listen to me closely. I doubt anything has happened to your friends, but I'd better come over. Stay in the house until I've arrived.
Just a random emergency number.
Random man.
Just going to come over.
Yeah. And then he hangs up. And now while Katie's waiting for this man to show up, Liz and Vicky are currently digging a hole at the cemetery for the body. They've made it to the cemetery with the body. Finally, the man does show up over by Katie. And it's Dr. Beck, of course.
Right, of course.
She shows him up to the weird attic and points out the dead bird. And then Katie hands Dr. Beck the necklace and asks why Slater wore this. And then dramatic music kicks in and Dr. Beck starts his monologue. 24 years ago, she came to me. She heard about my work with other women unable to bear children. She went through with the experimental procedure. All she ever wanted in life was to have a child, and the delivery was terribly traumatic. Ever since then, she's been in a world of her own. Katie remembers the birthday card she found, and she asks, who's Eric?
Mm-hmm.
And he answers, every June 19th, she celebrates his birthday, as if she has a normal, loving son. Now, where is Mrs. Slater? There's something you're not telling me. Okay? Katie is looking out the attic window, and her eyes widen. And she doesn't answer this question. Instead, she just starts running out to the pool. And Dr. Beck is right behind her. She gets out there, turns on the pool lights, and they can see all of the victims' dead bodies floating in the pool. That's where they've been. Of course.
Right.
She freaks out and cries into Dr. Beck's arms before we cut to them inside, Beck on the phone calling the police and reporting the bodies. Okay, we finally made it.
Yes, okay. Police involvement.
As he's talking, Katie tells him that Liz and Vicky are at the Parkview Cemetery nearby, and Slater's probably on her way to go and kill them as we speak, so he relays this information as well.
Uh-huh.
And then cut to the cemetery, Vicky and Liz are finally done digging their hole. So Liz runs off to the van to drive it over to their hole now, but as soon as she gets in the driver's seat, the killer is in the back seat, takes a cane, slits her throat. As soon as she sits down.
GG.
Bye, Liz. Vicky starts screaming for Liz from the grave when she's taking too long. And with no response, she stomps on over to the car. Liz is sitting up in the driver's seat, and it isn't until Vicky opens the door and she realizes she's dead as she like slumps out onto the ground. Vicky screams and turns, seeing the silhouette of Slater coming toward her with the cane. And then she starts getting whacked in the stomach and her back. And she falls to the ground and she gets a final killer blow to the skull.
Oh.
R.I.P. Vicky. I know. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, bye, Vicky. I mean, like, this is your fault.
Yep.
So,
yep. Bye,
I mean, Slater did start it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Still. Yeah. That whole waterbed situation was crazy. It's all crazy. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
Dr. Beck and Katie are driving over to the cemetery, and Katie's filling him in on the full truth with, like, the prank gone wrong situation. Mm-hmm. And she's realizing now that the body that fell from the attic must have been Stevie's, based on, like, when Stevie went missing.
Oh, sure, sure, right. Okay.
Well, they make it to the cemetery, and Katie walks up to the freshly dug grave to find Vicky and Liz dead inside it.
Oh,
so
shucks.
Awesome. Dr. Beck goes over to the dead body in the back of the van, opens up the towels, and they find that it really is Mrs. Slater's dead body.
Oh.
And Beck goes, he's alive. Please get back in the car. Mm-hmm. So they drive away from the cemetery and Katie thinks that they're headed for the police station, but instead he pulls up back at the sorority house and she's like, wait, what about what happened to the police? What were you doing?
Nobody wants to involve the police.
Yeah. Dr. Beck goes, they're not coming. And then he grabs a syringe out of nowhere and drugs her with what he calls a mild sedative. That's how he describes it.
Oh, okay. Just a mild sedative. It's fine.
And then he drags her into the house and blocks the front door behind them with a dresser.
Alrighty.
He takes her into a room after locking up like pretty much the entire house. She's on the verge of passing out like from the drugs on this chair. And he goes into another monologue. He goes, Mrs. Slater was the last one that I used the drug on. Like the others, Eric was born with certain abnormalities. I warned her is what we expected would happen. Eric spent every summer away from the clinic in the attic. I told Mrs. Slater that his condition was worsening. She wouldn't listen. He must have seen everything from the attic window, like that you guys did, the prank.
Oh, yep.
Do you understand? I must find him. You're the last one of your friends alive. You're the bait. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he opens the back patio door in this room that we're in, leaving it like the only possible way for Eric to come inside because he's locked up everything else. And then, you know, he has her like sitting in this chair and she can't really move because she's all drugged up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's just trying to be ready for him. And like he's definitely planning to kill him once he comes in and hopefully takes the bait.
Mm-hmm.
Then Beck lifts a gun and points it at Katie when she starts to tell him not to do this. He orders her not to move or make a sound. And then Beck hides behind one of like the patio doors waiting for Eric. So. Okay. After having some hallucinations of Slater, her cane, and the dead girls, a real silhouette comes out of the darkness. It's so weird.
You know, just gotta fill that runtime maybe. I don't know.
Oh my God. I'm thinking of Scary Movie 3. I don't know if you remember what that tape was like in Scary Movie 3, where it was obviously really weird, but is there an old woman with a cane? And then she's like spinning around and then like the woman disappears, but the cane is still there. I could be meshing memories from what this looks like to what that is.
Oh.
I don't know. But it's weird because like when she's hallucinating all of them, it's Mrs. Slater holding her cane, but then Mrs. Slater will disappear and it's just the cane standing there.
Oh.
It's really weird. I don't know. I wonder. Huh. I'd have to look back at that. But yeah, now after the hallucinations, a real silhouette comes out of the darkness toward her and Katie recognizes that it's Peter, but as she's screaming for him to stop, it's too late and Beck already shoots him. And this is not Eric. For a second, I was like, is Peter Eric?
Oh, no, that's what I thought it was going to be.
Yes, but no, it's just that Peter just keeps coming back over and over and over.
Damn it, Peter.
Yeah, so now he's been shot, but he's shot in the shoulder. So hopefully he'll be okay, but he falls limp to the ground. Beck doesn't seem concerned. He just like sits over his body and he's like fixing up his gun, putting bullets in his gun. Like, I don't know what he's just like sitting over his body and he's just distracted and I don't even know what he's doing. But Katie takes this opportunity to like make a run for it since he's distracted. And she decides to just like go ahead and run upstairs because where else would you run?
Right.
Beck runs after her and is like, come on, we need you as bait. The boy downstairs is only tranquilized. I don't want to. Oh, that's right. That's it. It's a trank.
Oh, it's a trank dart.
I don't want to hurt anybody and no one can know about him. I'd be ruined if anyone knew what I did. Okay. Now.
That sounds like my problem.
Yeah, right. Now Katie is in Vicky's room and she finds the gun, loads it up and waits and hides with her gun and at the ready. But out in the hallway with Beck, Eric pops out from one of the rooms, whacks him with the cane down the hall until the final whack sends him over the banister of the staircase. Dr. Beck falls to his death.
Oh, okay, bye.
Yep, bye. You're kind of annoying anyways, so whatever.
Yeah, you've really just frustrated me for the past few minutes here.
Now Katie decides to exit the room that she was in, gun still at the ready at least, and she walks down the hall and looks over the railing to see a deformed man standing over a dead Dr. Beck. She tries to take shots, but the gun isn't going off, so she runs to the communal bathroom and like shuts herself into a stall and starts messing with the gun, and she realizes like the safety was on and she figures out how to turn that off, and it's like, maybe we should have figured that out first, but it's okay.
It's always the safety.
It's always the fucking safety. So she looks down. Yeah, she's like in this stall, like messing with it. And then she figures it out. And then she's like, oh, okay, it's going to work. And then she looks down and she just sees Jeannie's head staring up at her from the toilet. Yeah. So, okay.
Okay.
We're going to leave the stall now. So
yeah, let's get out of here.
She runs out into the upstairs patio, falls to the ground, sets down the gun, starts retching like she's like affected by the corpse head.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's done doing that, there's a ladder on this patio that leads up to the attic window. So, of course, she climbs up into the attic.
Right.
Then she grabs a jack-in-the-box and sets it down when it starts playing music by the entrance of the trap door that's open that goes down into the closet. So she's right. baiting him. She's like, okay, I have my gun ready this time.
Okay.
And she's baiting him with the jack-in-the-box. So she backs up into a corner with her like gun pointed toward the trap door, just waiting and ready. But then we get a shot where out of her field of vision, that clown suit that we found before is no longer a suit. It's Eric. Oh. He's dressed up full clown, like full mask and all.
Oh, wow.
And he starts to make his way toward her with the cane and she doesn't see this. She notices him just in time, though, and jumps out of the way. And then she starts shooting at him to find out that it's only filled with blanks.
Oh.
So she just like throws the gun at him. Mm-hmm. And then she grabs a doll, pulls the head off of this doll, and there's like a deadly spike coming out of the neck for some reason, which I know that happens sometimes with old dolls, but thank God you're lucky.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. Okay.
Not anymore because it's dangerous.
Yeah, that seems like a problem.
Yeah. So now she has this and she just starts like stabbing him over and over with the doll point. And
nice.
He falls down through the trap door, lands on the closet floor. In the attic, Katie falls to the ground in a heap of exhaustion, thinking it's over. But then the movie ends with us seeing Clown Eric open his eyes, and then that's it.
Oh.
And then it's over.
So did she die?
We don't know. Yeah, we don't know if he's going to kill her. Is, like, Peter good? He's just passed out, tranked downstairs. Oh,
true. What's up with Peter?
Just a bunch of dead bodies in the pool at the graveyard.
There are a lot of questions still.
Yeah.
Aren't there? Wow.
Oh, yeah. This one's got to have a sequel.
Oh, it definitely has to.
I didn't look into it. I'm not sure if I want to watch it. I did enjoy this for what it is. It's good. Yeah. It's fun. But I don't need to see anymore.
Fair enough. No, yeah. I just looked it up because I remember when you were like telling me what you were doing, I did look up just like House on Sorority Row, and now that you've said it, I remember seeing the clown, and I totally forgot.
Yeah,
it's because like obviously that's like an image from a striking image.
Yes, for sure. I do like that. I love when he's like steps out of the darkness. It looks good.
Love that.
But it's just so random. I don't know. I have a hard time with like boring villains. I mean, it's just like I've seen it a million times before, like the revenge.
Oh, yeah.
Villain, like you killed my mom, so I'm gonna kill you. It's like, okay. And he like never even spoke. I want to know him. Like I'm too.
Right.
I wanted to like know about him. I don't know. It's just like he's just this like scary deformed man out for revenge. And it's like, ugh, it could be more interesting.
Right. It seems like it really just wanted to focus on like slasher.
Yeah. It's just death. Fun.
Yeah. Which is, you know, which is fine.
It's fine. So I have 6 questions for you.
Let's go.
Would you come clean about everything and ask for the police for help when you run into him? When they literally run into that policeman?
Oh, that sucks. Because like, I guess like, but at this point now you're implicated because of all the stuff you've done. So like a person who's done all of this probably wouldn't.
But think of the guilt. Wouldn't you rather? Because you're not going to be in the most trouble. Because we are not the person that pulled the trigger. I know neither of us are like the person heading the prank and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would. It's just like sucks that it had to get this far.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just thinking of the way my stomach would be feeling this whole time. And it's awful. I'm going to probably say like an 86 on this one.
Okay. I went 95.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just would be like, I would break down with the opportunity to confess in front of me. I couldn't not, you know, it would just come out of me.
That's very fair.
Yeah. How unlikely are you to run into the communal bathroom alone after being attacked?
First of all, I hate a communal bathroom.
Gross. Yeah.
Nothing worse than a communal bathroom. Like, that was the worst part of college.
Agreed.
Having to go with your little shower caddy, yep, in your flip flops. Hated that.
Dark times.
Dark, dark times. No, but really, like, why would you go in there?
Just puke in the kitchen sink. Just, like, at least stay where you are.
Yeah. Where I'm puking is also not a concern to me right now.
Puke on the floor, yeah.
I don't think I would care if I puked on the floor. Right now. No. Like, I got bigger issues.
Yeah.
So how unlikely am I? I'm going to do a flat 90.
I went 99.
Really? Yep. Okay.
I know I'm not. And I would be chasing after. Kate was like, I'll be right back. No, you're not. You're not going anywhere. And I'm coming with you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Would you refuse to go to the cemetery and bury Slater's body?
Yep. Mm-hmm. 99.
Oh my God. I went 90.
Oh, hey. We flipped.
Little switch.
Yeah. I feel like we keep, because this is very similar to the car.
Yes.
Where you're like, I would just do it. Or I'm like,
exactly.
I wouldn't even want to be a part of that.
Yeah. It's
and
more
I know
of like
you
a,
wouldn't either.
No,
so.
Right. Yeah. We're both very high. But at this point, it's like, oh my God, fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
I guess so. I guess I'll do it. Yeah.
Would you call the police instead of the random number on Slater's medical tag?
Why would you? Why? There's that no reason. Again, if would you call
it
the
makes
police?
No sense.
I'm saying 99 because
me too.
Calling the police is always going to be my go-to on this kind
of
situation.
99 as well. I just don't understand. It's like you're scared to call the police to get in trouble. You don't know who this number is.
Yeah.
You're probably also. It's an emergency contact situation. You're
it's
probably
no different.
Also going to get in trouble for calling this number. So why would you just not call the police?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you at least know who you're calling.
Okay. Would you refuse to trust Dr. Beck once he arrived, saving yourself from being tranquilized?
But I refuse to trust him.
Yeah.
No. I think I would trust him because he's an authority figure in this situation.
Yeah.
And at this point, especially given the state that you'd be in at this point, I would trust him. So I'm going to say like 19.
Wow. I went 60.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm still, well, it's my lowest number that
True.
I've done so far.
True.
But I default to not trusting people. So it's already like 50-50 starting off. And then because of how like intense the night is, I would veer higher than 50. Because of just everything going on. Like, I don't know. I don't care. I don't know you.
Yeah.
And this is all crazy. So, you
Very
know.
Fair.
Yeah. And then finally, could you – this question – okay,
oh,
let me just
Lord.
Ask the question.
Okay.
Could you take on Eric in a one-on-one cat and mouse game / escape him? Like, either take him on or escape. And I'm going to tell you my score first.
Okay.
I gave myself a 90.
Okay.
Because
you can
it
run
pisses
away.
Me off. Because just run away. Just leave. Just leave. Just leave. He never runs. He just is like a spooky spook around the corner all the time. He never runs at you. So I'm like, I'm just going to run away. And there's so many opportunities where it's like he's not eyes on you all the time.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities to get away. So I just gave it a 90. I think if I just ran, he would probably not even realize I left and be like, oh, man.
Yeah. I'm going to just go with you at 90 because that feels appropriate. Because it's not like if it's a combat situation,
right?
That's when I always go lower because I don't trust myself in that. But if it's like I have the opportunity to just run away.
I think we could do it.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that.
Okay. That brings my act 3 down a little bit to an 88%.
Oh, you just plummeted right there.
Yeah.
I think this is going to end up being my highest. Hold on. Mm. Oh, yeah. I got an 81%.
Nice.
In my third act. So I did go up.
Yeah.
Throughout this movie. I think it's
because
partly because
decisions just kept getting worse.
Yeah. You get more fed up with the decisions that they're making because they're absolutely ridiculous.
Awful.
Alrighty. My final score for this episode is a 74%.
I'll take it.
It needs to be a little higher than our usuals, and it is.
I'll take that. My overall final score is 90%.
Damn.
So, yes, I'm so happy I hit the 90s because it made me that mad.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I just refuse to die, actually.
I reject all of this.
And that brings us to an overall 82.
Okay.
That's not terrible.
What is our highest score so far on the podcast? Have we ever hit 100? Have we ever had a gimmicky 100 episode?
We did have a 100 episode that I've talked about regretting our 100. Ooh. Because I just think it was like, if we redid it today, it would not be 100. It was House on Haunted Hill. Because it was just like a weird thing.
Yeah.
If I went back, I would not have made that a 100%.
Interesting. Yeah, I wonder what the worksheet would be like. Oh my gosh, what if we went back and like did the worksheet on...
on those episodes.
On episodes,
dude, it would be so different.
That would be interesting. No,
we've definitely been higher than 82. I think since the worksheet, we've generally been lower though.
I think this has to be our highest worksheet score for sure.
I definitely agree.
My phone just like randomly updated, so I'm like, can't look at anything.
That's nice. I am scrolling right now. Oh, no.
Ooh.
Pieces was an 88.
Okay. Interesting. I don't remember that being that high.
I don't either.
That's interesting.
I don't remember what the worksheet was like for that one, but it was up there. And I think that was our highest worksheet. ATM was also an 82. So
okay.
Another running away one.
That feels right. That exactly. It's the running away horror.
Yes.
Where it's like, guys, just get out of here. You can get out of here. There's so many opportunities to run.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait. Sorry, just one more. I forgot. Shook was a 94.
Yeah, because that pissed us off.
That was the most infuriating film of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's also valid.
Thought I'd bring that one up.
That was pre-worksheet.
Yes, it was.
And I think the worksheet, it shouldn't make it any lower. Like, that deserves the 94.
It did.
Oh, wow. Okay. You guys can check us out on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. That is linked in the description of this episode. Also linked below are all the other places you can find us, including our Patreon for video episodes and bonus content, as well as our Discord, where we have an interactive worksheet that you can fill out as well and let us know, would you survive?